Are you ready? Hey there, you are listening to Think Tank Millionaire Podcast, where on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you get an unfiltered, raw, and authentic conversation about the challenges of being an entrepreneur and tips and tricks on how you can scale your business to the next level. If you are looking to scale your business, then get ready to buckle up. Introducing our host, Alexa D'Agostino.
Welcome to Think Tank Millionaire Podcast, a podcast where you have real entrepreneurs talking about real problems and giving you real solutions to fix them and help you scale your business to the next level. Hello, everyone. My name is Alexa D'Agostino, and I am your host of Millionaire Podcast. Today, we're going to discuss the three things you are doing wrong in your business. Today, I have one of my most amazing and favorite clients. Don't tell anybody, Deb. Deborah Shannon. She's not only an awesome client, but she's just such an incredible person, and we have become at this point really good friends. And I'm so thankful to have her in my circle. I probably learned just as much from her as she learns from me. She is a powerhouse fractional COO, entrepreneur coach, and honestly, so much more. And I'm telling you, I cannot wait for you to hear the gems that are about to come out of her mouth. So today, three things you're doing wrong in your business. You know, running a business is hard. And maybe that's even an understatement. It's sometimes impossible. And it's impossible because a lot of times people don't have the right roadmap. But when you have the right roadmap, it actually becomes not only not impossible, but it becomes really doable. And sometimes it's just simple things that make such a big difference in your business. And so today I want to discuss and really drill down. I think, you know, Deborah, you and I have spoken a lot about the different things. And for me, the number one thing people are doing wrong, and this might catch people by surprise, but it's their attitude and mindset. And a lot of times when people come in, and even for our coaching program, like we immediately know if somebody's not the right fit for our coaching program because they just don't have the right mindset, period. So what do you think about mindset, and what do you think that entrepreneurs are doing wrong in their business with their mindset?
Well, first of all, thanks. I'm glad we're getting to hang out. Like we do this anyway. It's just nice that now we're doing it together.
And now everybody can hear our banter.
Right. Fly on the wall. Because we do go pretty vertically deep on some of these topics. And mindset's definitely one of them. You know, there's buckets of mindsets, right, when it comes to, or categories of mindsets that matter when it comes to being an entrepreneur. And one of them is being coachable. I mean, that's just the bottom line. That's, to me, the first hurdle. If they can't pass that hurdle, it's pointless because it's just wasted time and energy. And you know, you're not going to be helpful to them and they're not going to get what they need and they're just not ready. So I think coachability.
But real quick, go into that though. Coachability.
Yeah. Coachability.
Like, dig that. Yeah.
Yeah. That, you know, we have this, look, people go into business because they're good at what they're good at. So I don't know, maybe you're a chef, maybe you're a coach, maybe, you know, you're a service provider, a skilled professional in a category. Well, the reason you're going into business is because you believe on a certain level that you're the best at that, right? Which is great. But then you also have to counterbalance that with, I don't know necessarily everything I know to be successful as a business, because what makes you good at what you're good at doesn't necessarily make you good at business, period. Matter of fact, it's usually the opposite. Whatever craft, skill, trade, you know, skill set, whatever it is that you have that you're good at, is most people aren't, I'm good at the business of business. They're not. They're good at the business of food or the business of, you know, hair or beauty or coaching or mindset. They're great at that. That doesn't mean they're good at business, period. It just doesn't. And so they have to have this mentality of, yes, I'm an expert in my category, but I don't necessarily know what I need to do to make the business sustainable and grow. And they're completely different categories. So you have to be open to criticism, you know, and feedback. And you've got to be willing to not know all the answers. And a lot of people can't do that, at least in my experience.
I mean, it's funny because the truth is none of us know the right answers. And at every stage of your business in life, you're going to run into a different part of your business that you're not going to know how to do, right? Yeah. So the problems of a five-figure entrepreneur are so different than a six and a seven and an eight and a nine. And like right now, I'm entering a world where I've been where I am right now monetarily in the past, but like 8 years ago, right? And so the problems even now versus 8 years ago are completely different too. And so even if you've done something 10 years prior, the challenges are so different. And you're absolutely right that a lot of times people are not coachable and they don't even realize that they're not coachable. Right. And so I look at it, it's like, what are the things you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, wow, I'm really not coachable. Well, A, if you don't implement what you're told to, if you, you know, get a suggestion and you always hear yourself saying, but, and come up with an excuse. Right. So those are the two things. I don't know if you have it anymore, but there are definitely
there's
things
another
you can
one.
Do.
Yeah, there's another one. If you have this mentality of, well, you know, they, whoever you're seeking coaching or advising from, they have to fix it for me. That's not how this works, right? That's not a coach. That's an employee or a subject matter expert. And so a coach is coming in to create what their client needs in them, not the coach isn't there to fix your business. You know what I mean? So I think that that's, I run into, you know, I've run into that a few times. It's like, well, I mean, that's a position in your company, maybe, but if you want to be coached, it's about you as a client, not, you know, I'm going to sit back and let you fix all my problems. You know, I think there's a dependency that can form there that you got to be careful of, you know, and that's the thing. You've seen my acceleration. You've seen my growth. It's happened fairly rapidly. And that's how it happens with me. And you know why? I'm telling you, my superpower. I am as coachable, I think, as they come. And yet I want to be more coachable. Like you said, we may not realize where we're not coachable. So, and that's why working with you has been great, because you've challenged me at levels I've not been at before. But I'm great about when I get to that next level, I'm like, all right, who do I need to get to help me? I'm wide open for support and help and coaching, because it collapses time and it accelerates the evolution, you know? And so to me, I don't have time to waste. So that's to me what coaching is. So I think that if you had no other mindset, the mindset of being coachable is the number one. And then the other thing is curiosity. I think too many people aren't curious because they think they have to know everything. They're trying to prove something or look like they know what they're doing or whatever. It's like, let that go. Be curious, like be interested, saying, oh, I don't know. But I mean, like just this morning, I was studying up on, you know, content delivery networks like Amazon Web Services. I'm not in that category, but I'm advising with somebody who is, and I want to know about it. You know, so I'm always curious. That's a big one, I think, for mindset.
I love being curious, because as entrepreneurs, what do? We solve problems. In order to solve problems, you have to be curious to find the problems, right? And I think that's what, like, I almost feel like you're the fixer. Like, you are so good at finding problems. And that's like it sounds kind of negative, but it's so good, because every business has problems. And most of the time, like, if you're sitting here right now, I'm talking to the listeners, right? If you're sitting here right now and you're like, my business is flowing, I have no problems, you're just not looking hard enough. Every business has problems. And, you know, it's to your point, it's like, I've always learned to respect the person above you, right? So for me, I'm always going, if somebody like at nine figures tells me to jump, I'm jumping, you know? Right. But what I've also learned is that sometimes people are not coachable downwards either. And to be honest, like, I'm always learning from even the students that I teach and my clients, because it's about the subject matter too. So sometimes our egos get in our way of really having an opportunity to learn just because somebody doesn't make as much money as us. So I personally think that it goes both ways.
1,000%. And here's the thing, you know, that you talked about, the people think they have everything on lock and it's rolling and they're being successful. The problem is and this is where I seem to have a specialty. I didn't know it until it was reflected back to me by every client I've worked with. But that is the biggest problem every single business has. Are you ready? I'm going to tell you the biggest problem every single, without fail, every single business has is the problems they're unaware of. Those are the biggest problems. They just, because they can't do anything about them because they don't know they're there.
And they get bigger and bigger and bigger.
But here's what I help transform them into, and you do as well, is what people have this, like you said, it's a negative thing. It's like problems. Those are negative. No, what they are is opportunities in embryonic stage. They're opportunities in the embryonic stage. A problem is absolutely an opportunity without fail. And people don't see it that way. It's like, chase the problems because you can transform them into opportunities. You can find efficiencies. You can cut expenses. You can decrease your focus so that you can get laser focused on something. You can understand your channels better. Like, the problems aren't something to run away from. There's something to chase because there's an opportunity waiting to hatch.
Absolutely. And I want to mention one more thing before we go on to the second one.
Yeah.
It's also being flexible when things happen. Like, we expect things to go so smoothly, and so many people are just not resilient. And, you know, it's like an example. Last night, I had a client that was going on national television, and basically like 5 minutes before, they floated the segment to the next morning. And my client was like so flustered. He was like, oh my God, well, I changed my whole night and now I got to change my, like, you're going on national television, dude. Just change your perspective. You've got to be able to roll with the punches. And the same thing goes when things go wrong in your business. Your business it's going to go up and down. And you've got to be able to understand when it goes down, you just got to look and figure out the problems, not sit there in a corner and cry. You can't, you don't have time to do that.
Well, you'll get passed by your competition. And, you know, I love that. I heard somebody say this the other day. They were like, well, remember, you only hear screams when people are on the downstroke of the roller coaster, right? That's when the fun happens. Everybody on the climb is like waiting for the you know, that's where the fun is. So if you can see it as the ride that it is, because it is, it's a ride. And you're exactly right. Like, the people who get hate to compare it to a car accident, but the people who get hurt are the ones that tense up right before, right? It's when you don't see it coming that you're relaxed. You maybe don't have as much damage. It's like, you got to relax with it. And remember, it's like riding a wave. I've never seen a surfer, for Florida, never seen a surfer successfully ride a wave by punching it into submission. It just doesn't work. You have to roll with it. And yeah, you're absolutely right. You got to be flexible and see that as that is the nature of business. That's exactly, you're in business. That's what's going to happen. So I'm with you.
So obviously mindset's important. And it's literally the number one. It's why it's the first pillar of our entire course and our roadmap to success, because so many people don't have the right mindset. And it's a continuous thing. And, you know, I was meeting a student yesterday and I said to him, look, even if you have the right mindset now, learn the tools and the skills that we're teaching you in this module, because you're going to need it eventually, you know? And I explained to him, I said, one of our exercises, your best self, I actually used it last week because I felt like I was, have been a little on edge and I haven't been my best self. So I had to remind myself, what does my best self look like? And it allowed me to readjust myself back because I knew I wasn't being my best self. So it is so important, but even more important to me is marketing. And drilling down even further, obviously I have a doctorate of marketing and business. So I clearly love marketing, but, you know, even drilling deeper, because I mean, marketing is so big, like there's so many different things to discuss and talk about. But to me, I want to talk about lead gen because there's three things, right? Audience, trust, and monetization. And without an audience, you literally have nothing. It's literally the single most important thing in your business, because you can have the best offer in the world, but if nobody's seeing it, it doesn't matter. And I feel like everybody that is struggling, this is the one element that they're not doing right in their business. Yeah. And so I want your perspective. Like, what do you think people are doing wrong?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. ATM, audience, trust, and monetization. You know, it really ties to mindset. And that's why it's so great that you start with mindset in your program, because everybody's focused on where they want to get to. So lead gen is a focus on, I want to get to sales and I want to get to revenue, right? And I need more leads because I know my conversion rate, or maybe I don't know my conversion rate, and I need this many leads in order to get to this goal. So just focus on where they want to get to. And they don't spend enough time figuring out where they're coming from, right? Which is mindset. So where you're coming from is going to determine where you end up. It's like shooting an arrow, right? If I pull back and I aim this way, I'm going to land over there, but nobody's focused on that. So taking that into lead gen, it's the same thing when it comes to audience. We are so, again, I said earlier, whatever we're good at that we got in business to contribute to the market doesn't necessarily make us good at business. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to audience and lead gen. If we're not thinking about the audience first and what they care about and why they would, you know, care about what it is you do, then we're not going to get their attention. Without their attention, we can't sell to them, right? And so I think that we get so focused on our specialty, our product, or whatever it is, and all the great things about it, we forget about the audience who's sitting there going, why do I care about this? And the more friction there is, in other words, the more they have to think about why this product or service would help them, the closer you inch to losing their attention quickly. So I think that it's a matter of really being focused on why they would care about what it is you have to offer and what it would mean for them. And that's the idea of where you're coming from when you think lead gen. You've got to start with the audience and maybe be the first audience member in your own business and play that role and really understand why anybody should care about what it is you have to offer, because you're never going to generate a lead if you don't speak to that.
Well, it's interesting too, because everybody thinks that audience equals social media following and audience equals like a big audience. And it's actually not. Like, some of the smallest audiences make a lot of money. It's about the quality. And so I look at it, there's three ways to build an audience. You could build it from scratch, use your past audience, or use somebody else's and bootstrap. And immediately when we think about number three, we're like, oh, let me go find somebody with millions of followers. But the truth is, most of those people actually make zero money because of the exact point that you brought up. They have this entire audience that is not the right audience for their offer. So if you have a big audience already, you have two choices. You either create a offer that's suited for them, or you go find a new audience. Like, those are your two choices. And so how many times do these big creators and big, you know, influencers end up having this big audience and selling like apparel? Like, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's, you know, it's because they don't know their audience. Every single person.
I was going to say they kick it out of the $5 box, what I call it. You know, it's like they've started there. That's where their audience, that's what their audience expects. And then when you actually try to charge them, you can actually turn the audience off and they'll, you know, they'll turn on you. They'll turn their back on you because it's like, wait a minute, all this was free. Now you want me to spend $500 or $1,000, whatever, for your program, but I've gotten everything I need from you for free. Why should I start paying you now? So you've, you know, you kind of, it's a setup. So I think you're right. I think you got to know who you're talking to, and you're exactly right. Like, if the audience you have is not the one for your high ticket offer or whatever it is you're trying to sell, then you got to go raise a different audience. But that doesn't mean you can't do something with the audience you have. You know, you can still create something that's suitable for them and maybe make that the farm system for the bigger play later and pull them in over time. You got to nurture them. But yeah, there's audience everywhere and you don't have to have a million. Matter of fact, I would say it's harder if you have, you know, the larger you're following on social media, the more engagement you have to have for the algorithm to respect your profile. So you've really got to continue putting out the same content to keep the engagement, not the same content, but same style of content to keep the engagement up, or else the algorithm is going to think that, oh, well, their content's no good. And I don't have a big, I'm not a big social media influencer because I have a small, I only work with very select few people, but mine consume my stuff. So that, because of what you said, trust, you know, they've come to trust me. And I think that that's where it gets sketchy. If you're in that $5 box or whatever, you're selling an ebook or you have a thing, and then you want to introduce a signature program, it gets really hard to pull that audience along. It's just a bridge too far. And sometimes you lose them in the gap. So you gotta know who you're talking to. 1,000%.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like dating, and we skip the dating process and go right to proposing, and people are like, what? And then you incredibly, like, immediately lose that trust with them. And, you know, it goes to the third thing, which we started to talk about, which is your offer, right? You can't, like, you don't just meet somebody like, hey, Debbie, like, you're good looking, let's just get married tomorrow. No, like, that's not, like,
it happens to me all the time, Alexa.
I'm sure it does. But, like, the point is, it's like, you know, just because you seem like you might be the perfect fit in marriage material doesn't mean you just walk up to somebody and go, will you marry me? That's not how you present your offer. And so I think the third biggest mistake that people make is their offer. Like, they don't know their audience. They don't know their problems. They're not taking the time to understand who they are. And that is literally the number one thing. But they also aren't making it irresistible. So many people I've coached that present their offer to me, they're like, this is an awesome offer, like $15,000. I'm like, what are they getting for $15,000? Like, I look at our coaching program and it's literally ridiculous what people actually get for the price that they pay for the amount of effort and time we all put in there. Like, it's almost stupid for people to say no to what we offer, right? And that's what you want. You want an offer that's like what I call a hell freaking yes. And most people's offers are not that.
So true. I mean, really, if you think about it, you know, if you did everything that you said in the lead up to this, which is, you know your audience, you've built trust with them, then if that's the case, if you really have that level of understanding of your audience, then it would be a natural follow-on to be able to put out an offer that they would go hell yes to, because you know them that well. But I agree. I think that, you know, people jump the gun and they just kind of get presumptive or assumptive or get nervous, and they just want to blurt it out and get it out there. There's no dance there. And you have to take your time and respect the time of your audience and respect the audience's desire to be able to be comfortable pulling the trigger, which is why engagement is so important, because those are purchases. They are spending their time with you. That's the first purchase that an audience member makes, is to consume what it is you're putting out there. And so they're already customers. You just have to, you know, you got to slow the dance down a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. And it's, you also got to believe in your own offer. And many people don't, because again, we go back to the first reason why, and the first thing people are doing wrong is mindset. Most people don't have actual confidence or imposter syndrome. And it is really a thing, you know. But I mean, we could talk about this topic for hours. Yeah. And we're going to have Debbie back on again, because she's literally back. Incredible. Will you come back, please? I'm sure our listeners. All right.
Yes,
good.
I'd love to come back. We'll be here.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a coaching call and then just like bait and switch it. Yeah. If you say no, I'm making sure you come back. Well, thank you so much for coming. If you want access to all of our podcast episodes, you can go to thinktankcoaching.com. Think is with a Y. If you're interested in having us help you grow your company, drop us an email at support@thinktankcoaching.com. Again, think is with a Y. Well, thank you, Debbie, and stay tuned for our next episode of Millionaire Podcast, and we'll see you soon. We'll be right back.